today on Real Life Radio.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit. And I want you to grab this tonight, because politics, your world, your life, the Bible says that there are spirits behind all the areas of power.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Are you looking for a deeper understanding of the Bible? Well, our current featured resource might be a pretty good next step for you. It's called With the Word, the Chapter-by-Chapter Bible Handbook. It's written by Warren Wiersbe, and what sets this Bible handbook apart from the others is its accessible format. And rather than overwhelming you with dense theological analysis, it presents each chapter in a clear and concise manner. It's a great book. You not only learn the spiritual significance of the text with valuable historical and cultural background, but you'll learn ways to apply it to your life. Wiersbe is well known for striking a balance between academic study and devotional warmth, so you can really relate to it on a personal level as well as an intellectual one. With the Word, the Chapter-by-Chapter Bible Handbook, written by Warren Wiersbe, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. It's available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Get your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled, You Being a Christian. True biblical Christianity means that we will never be at home in this world. Everything we stand for is at war with the schemes and agendas of our culture. It's why this series is so vitally important, especially when it comes to how we vote in this upcoming election. So please stay with us. You see, it's possible that we are heading into a time unlike any other in American history. There's a constant clash in what we've seen so far: the definition of natural marriage, Israel's right to exist, and the defending of the preborn child. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that ungodly political agendas want to criminalize the gospel and evangelism. The freedom of speech in America is now only a perception and not a reality. Now, with his message called You Being a Christian, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
True biblical Christianity will never be at ease in this world. It's never going to be accepted by this world. Everything that you and I stand for biblically is at war with the things of this world. We forget that. The Bible says that this world is at enmity with God. That's an old English word for warfare. This world is warring against the counsels of God. And if you're a Christian tonight, if you haven't been reminded of this lately, the Bible declares that the world is at war with you. Did you guys all hear me? Are you a Christian? Raise your hand. You're a Christian. Okay, there's a lot of Christian in here. The Bible says the world is at war against you. And I want to ask you tonight, do you believe and are you living a life that the world is at war with? As a Christian, we need to make sure that the world is at war with us. Jesus said it this way: beware when all men speak well of you, for so they did the false prophets who were before you. Listen to that. Because you and I are brought up in a certain culture that we are brought up to get accolades from everybody, to earn everyone's favor and to get everyone to agree and approve. And did you know that's a snare? The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. Oh, I just want people to like me. And that is a trap when we live like that. Because listen, if you haven't caught on yet, you may get some people to like you on Monday, but there's going to be a whole different group of people on Tuesday. And by Wednesday, the Monday and Tuesday people will hate you. You can't live like that. That is fear. That is bondage. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 4, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Why is that true? Because in 1 John 4, 1, the Bible says, jot these down now, beloved, do not believe every spirit. And I want you to grab this tonight, because politics, your world, your life, the Bible says that there are spirits behind all the areas of power and influence. Think about that for a moment. Wherever there's power, wherever there's influence, there are spirits at work, invisible angelic, and demonic spirits. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. You would use the Bible for that. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That is not powerful enough in the English language. In the original Greek, it means that every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come from heaven, as God revealed in the flesh among us, is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come, implying from heaven, in the flesh, is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. That is some other Christ, some other Savior, some other Jesus. And this is the spirit, mark it, of Antichrist, the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. 2,000 years ago, John tells us that there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world. Now, this is not the Antichrist, the person. There is Satan, who is Antichrist. There is this world system that is Antichrist. And then there is the person that is coming, the Antichrist, during the tribulation period. But listen, it's possible, highly possible, that we as a culture, as a world, is heading into a time unlike any other in American history. Sadly, I believe this is true. I am personally convinced, you don't have to be, that as the world goes, we are watching the opening dynamics of an age that we've never seen before, and quite frankly, maybe the setting up of a stage to usher in some very, very key things that may very well lead to biblical prophecy. Number one I'm thinking about is the global collapse of economies. There have been economies that have failed before, but never in the history of man, on a global scale, are we looking at global economics failing as they are today. The second thing is global lawlessness. The world is going nuts in lawlessness. The third thing is the breakdown of the family globally. This is epidemic. This is not a Hollywood thing. This is not just a California thing. It's not just an American thing. It is a worldwide issue where families are breaking apart. Some people are choosing not to even have a family at all. The fourth thing that I wrote down as I looked across the world scene is radical worldviews. Radical, insane worldviews. The worship of nature at the expense of sacrificing human life. Or so loving your own agenda that babies will be put to death for our own pleasure. The fifth thing was natural events. Do I need to elaborate on that? Natural events happening all over, like never before. Super volcanoes, super earthquakes, super storms. And then there's the looming threat of a world war in the Middle East at any time. It's a very amazing time. And so the Bible tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, therefore, since we see all these things, that they're all going to be dissolved someday. By the way, that word dissolved in the Greek language is amazing because it's therefore, since all these things that is of this world will be melting by virtue of fervent heat, unimaginable heat, that word dissolved. Isn't that amazing? That's a technical term. Unbelievable heat. Seeing that everything's going to someday evaporate, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 12, looking, number one, for, and number two, hastening. So we're to be looking for and hastening. Isn't that weird? The coming of the day of God. Somehow God has allowed the Christian to infuse into his culture and his world the possible influence to hasten the coming of Christ. Because of that which heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. What an amazing thing. And when Paul the Apostle gave a worldview perspective in Athens in Acts chapter 17, he shook the Athenians to their core. Because all the gods of the Greeks, there was nothing about love, that God loved them, that God would forgive them. They didn't have that news of their gods. They had erotic gods. They had angry gods. They had gods that were capricious, gods that were whimsical, but Paul was telling them about a God in heaven who made them all. that all of mankind was made by him and that the gods man-made were not gods at all. And so we look at this, mark it down, number one, politics and you and I being a Christian at a time like this, and specifically as we head toward a vote, mark it down, number one, we are to proclaim the gospel everywhere, church. Will you mark that down? And I want all of you to listen. We are to be proclaiming the gospel everywhere, and you might say tonight, or your friends might say tonight, what in the world does that have to do with politics? It has everything to do with politics, my friends, because you should be learning by now that politics does not have any sacred territory unto themselves where the Christian is not to get involved in. They would like you to have it that way, but that's not the way the Lord would have you to live. Politics to the Christian is open game like everything else. Why? Because we are to be proclaiming the gospel everywhere. And this is where right now you'll see this come together. The reason why politics affects you and I as a believer and how we vote matters is because there are those in power, or there are those who would like to become power brokers in our culture that would like to make sure you never preach Christ publicly again. Do you know what I'm talking about? I have been to countries where I had to sign a legal document that I would not speak on certain issues while in that country because it was illegal. And it was right out of the Bible. And by the way, just you say, Pastor Jack, you didn't compromise, did you? I did not compromise. In fact, I told them in a conference, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very happy to be here. I just want you to know that in my message, there were two things I had to leave out in my message that is against the law for me to speak regarding. That I'm not kidding. I'm quoting myself. I cannot speak on Islam and I cannot speak on homosexuality during this conference. So we won't talk about that any longer because it's illegal for me to do that. I got my point across, but I also reminded them politics had been encroaching upon the very revealed word of God. Preaching the gospel that Jesus would die on the cross for our sins. There's a great movement in the United Nations to make evangelism illegal. Did you know that? Because it causes people to be feeling bad about themselves because the gospel says we are to repent of our sins and turn to Christ. The Bible says right from the get-go that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there are those today arguing that the Bible cannot be preached because it's hate speech. And I want to tell you tonight, when you vote, vote for those like those kids showed us in that video who will defend religious freedom. In America, if you're Buddhist, you can build a temple. If you're a Muslim, you can build a mosque. If you're Jewish, you can build a synagogue. And if you're a Christian, you can build a church. That's the freedoms that we enjoy in America. We all have that right. But there are those who would like to take that right away from you, or at least begin by telling you, you cannot talk about Jesus in the public square. I've been a Christian long enough that at Christmas time, we used to go up and down South Coast Plaza in Fashion Island, Newport Beach, with our youth group, or not youth group, college group, at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and we would sing. I mean, I would lip sync it because the crowd of singers were so big I can't sing, but I looked like I was singing. But we were singing Christmas carols and everybody loved it. And try that now. Try that now. What happens if your child today picks up his Bible and goes to public school? Or goes out on, goes to the local store and opens it up and starts reading publicly the Bible? No, there are those, my friends, who would seek to shut us down. So listen, politics and the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, when he came and he spoke to the disciples saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That's everybody. Man, listen to that. Do you guys hear that? There's no wiggle room there. Remember a moment ago, we all raised our hands. So Jesus would say tonight, Jack, what are you doing to preach the gospel to all nations? It's not an option, Christian. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the end of the world. Wow. The preaching of the gospel. Well, I don't get involved in politics. Well, you better, because the politics of today would seek to shut down the gospel. I've had somebody tell me, keep your congregation and your message in the four walls of your church. Now think about that. If I teach you the Bible, the Holy Spirit in you will take the Word of God and send you out of the sanctuary into the world like a pump. Just Christians out into the world to love on the world, to give the gospel. And so we respond. Ungodly politics seeks to criminalize evangelism. We need to be careful about that. By the way, when I was young, I got my pilot's license. And back in those days, when you got your pilot's license, you couldn't get your pilot's license until you first had your radio operator's license. I don't know how they do it nowadays, but we had to get two licenses. And do you know, when you get your radio operator's license, you had to sign a federal agreement with the government that you would never use foul language over the air as a pilot, or else they would revoke your license. Clearly, Howard Stearns is not a pilot. If Howard Stearns cusses and uses pornographic language on his program, or anybody else for that matter, it's free speech. And the Christian stands up and says, let's pray. And someone will say, hey, separation of church and state. Isn't it interesting? Why? This world is at warfare with the people of God. And politics doesn't have to be, but it is often a tool of the enemy. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Church, are we living at a time like that? Absolutely. When the Ten Commandments are removed and the gospel is censored, then freedom of speech, in my opinion, in America is only a perception. It's not a reality.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
You think about that for a moment. Preaching the gospel. We are, watch this, we are commanded by Jesus to do it. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, don't we pay you to do that? No. We are all to do the work of an evangelist. All of us. But what if the government declares it to be illegal to evangelize someone? You say, that'll never happen. Or really, there's places in Europe where preaching used to be common, and now you can't. Try preaching the gospel in Iran. You know these programs that have these guys who do stunts? They just do stupid things on TV. Like they, you know, they jump off of a building with a handkerchief over their head or something stupid. Or they, you know, they jump, they wear their underwear and they run around in the snow and swim across a frozen lake just because they're insane. And they're supposed to be like crazy guys. I've always heard about this stuff, or I've seen these clips, and I'm thinking, man, if that guy really wants to be a thrill seeker, he ought to catch a flight to Saudi Arabia. Go stand out in front of a mosque in Saudi Arabia and start preaching the gospel if he really wants to be a thrill seeker. That's risking your life. But what happens if we're Christians and the government says no more public preaching, no more public displays of Christianity, no more crosses on your neck, no t-shirts about God, no stickers on your car, none of that. And Jesus said, preach the gospel. What are you going to do? You're going to obey man? You're going to obey God? So here's my point. That was very weak, by the way. That's very sad. Here's the deal. When I was just a brand new Christian, I think it was Brian Duncan or somebody sang a song, Larry Norman, I don't know who it was, sang a song, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Yes. You're under arrest for what? For being a Christian. Well, then you better find good evidence in my life. Because wouldn't it be horrible to be judged by an ungodly world that says, you know what, we're turning you loose. We thought you were a Christian. We examined your life and concluded you're not a Christian. You're free. Oh, man. Wow. Listen, number two, we are to pray for righteous leaders over us. Politics and you and I being a Christian, we are to pray for righteous leaders. That is a command of Scripture. Israel was a unique nation in all of the earth. Israel was a theocracy. God gave birth to Israel. God gave Israel promises. And God said, I will speak to you through my prophets, but I'm going to lead you and lead them. And I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And Israel was to be a theocracy. And it worked great. It worked fine as long as they obeyed. God was always speaking. By the way, God is always speaking. God is speaking to you all the time. I know this to be a fact. He's always speaking. We just have to listen. And Israel looked around. You can read it in grave detail in 1 Samuel chapter 8. It's very sad. But the people came to Samuel and said, We have a request of you, Samuel. We want to have a king like all the other nations have on the earth. We want a king too. Stop for a moment. All the other nations had kings. Israel did not have a king. King God was their king, the Lord, okay? And they said, we want, watch this. Read chapter 8, 1 Samuel later on tonight. You think you're reading our newspaper. I'm serious. They said, listen, we want a king who will give us what we want and who will fight all of our battles for us. Samuel rebuked them. And then God spoke to Samuel and said, Samuel, go back and tell the people I will heed their request. Because Samuel, they've not rejected you as prophet. They've rejected me as God. And tell them this shall be the character of the man whom they have asked for. He will take your young children and grow them up under his authority, and they will run ahead of his entourage and behind his entourage in great display. He will tax everything your vineyards produce, and everything your goats produce, and everything your cattle produce, and everything your fields produce, he will tax. And you will become indebted to him, you and your children's children. 1 Samuel, like reading today's New York Times. We need to pray, church, for righteous leaders. When we go to vote on Tuesday, we are to pray. Vote and pray. You say, what if the outcome doesn't happen the way that you hope? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are going to see me next Wednesday free. You want to know why? I've done what God has asked me to do. Listen, do your best. What's the old saying? Do your best and commit the rest. I'm going to do what's biblical and leave the outcome to God.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called You Being a Christian. Thanks for spending time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, including politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So it's about time to vote, and you happen to have in a particular office two candidates that do not represent your biblical worldview. In fact, they might be two candidates that are of an opposing party or whatever the case might be. Well, listen, my friend, you must vote, but here's how you do it. You first of all pray, and then you vote, and then you pray again. But when you vote, realize this, you need to vote with some intelligence. And you need to look at a voter's guide, or you need to find out about these candidates. So, for example, if you have two extreme progressive liberals that are running against each other and you think you have no choice, I would like to offer you this opportunity. If you look at both of their previous voting records, or if they've never had a previous voting record, look at their position on the issues. And one of them will be closer to a biblical worldview than the other. Now, granted, both of them are far from a biblical worldview, but one of them might be, for example, pro-life, or they might have a less aggressive view of abortion. Or if that's not the option, it might be taxes, or it might be the topic of Israel or the border. Vote for the individual that represents your concerns, biblically based, even if it's only one issue. By all means, exercise your freedom to vote. People died that you and I might have the freedom to vote. So let's pray right now for the wisdom of God. Father,
We come to you in Jesus' name, and we ask you, Lord God, that you would give us wisdom from coast to coast, border to border, in this election, that we would be people who would not sit it out, that we would not be idle servants, that we would not in any way miss an opportunity to do good. And so, Father, give us wisdom to vote even for those really, really difficult candidates that do not represent us at all. Show us the one that's less evil than the other. And God, we pray for your mercy upon this nation. We need it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.